here's a story from The World.
On Monday, the chief of the Minneapolis police, Medario Arredondo, did something rare. He testified against a fellow officer, technically a former fellow subordinate officer. Historically, police chiefs have not held their officers accountable for brutality. The trial of Derek Chauvin for killing George Floyd raises issues about race, policing, and justice for black people in America. Peter Herbert is a retired judge who served on London's Metropolitan Police Authority. He's also part of a group of international legal experts looking at the problem of police violence against Americans of African descent. Peter Herbert joins us once again from Nairobi, where he's been following the trial of Derek Chauvin. So you live, Peter Herbert, in the UK and in Kenya. How are cases of excessive or lethal force by police handled there compared with here in the US? I mean, do you see any useful comparisons?
I think there are. I mean, the thread in this case is racism. And sadly, whether it's in the United Kingdom or France or the US or even Canada, there is a disproportionate number of killings of particularly black men by those police forces. There is generally an uphill task to have anybody convicted, let alone sometimes charged. And there has been to date, I think, only one, if ever, any prosecution of any police officer successfully in the United Kingdom for murder or manslaughter, whether the victim be African, Caribbean or white.
I mean, how has that been addressed over time in the UK?
Well, there's been various commissions. There's been reports on unlawful killings by police and prison staff. And there has been, I think they run at between 50 and 60 a year. So a lot less than you have clearly in the United States. But I think the main difference is we do not generally have a police force that is armed. And they have to, if there is a situation that calls on firearms, they have to call in an early response unit. And there's automatically a suspension of any police officer who is found to have shot anybody or been involved in a potential unlawful killing.
The people of Minneapolis, especially Northside Minneapolis, they know painfully well the levels of crime where they live. In an ideal world, what do you think this trial should represent in terms of establishing a baseline of trust so that people, blacks and people of color especially, can also see police as helping them deal fairly with crime that impacts them?
Ironically, and I haven't seen the studies, but actually, generally speaking, if a person of African or Hispanic descent is in trouble in the United States, they'll call the police. They might fear the consequences of calling the police, but generally speaking, they, like anybody else, that is the first port of call, 911. And having met some of the police officers of African descent in Atlanta and elsewhere, some of them have very high standards of professionalism. The problem is that police culture in the United States has become increasingly militaristic. It has responded with a disproportionate use of force. And sadly, the racism which has lain at its core since emancipation is still there. And my perception of white and sometimes, sadly, black police officers is they are so much in fear, or purportedly in fear, of African Americans and Hispanic Americans that they shoot before they think, or they impose the lethal use of force before they even de-escalate. So I think it will be a long time before trust and confidence is ever gained within the minority communities in the U.S. with the way they're policed.
What can this trial do to shift that narrative? What will you be watching for in the coming weeks?
Well, I think it would help if there's a conviction of second-degree murder. I mean, if it's an acquittal of anything or of anything less, then it will seriously cause serious damage to public confidence, which is already very low. I would look to see it becoming the norm for fellow police officers, particularly chief officers, if they have the lawful right to sack an officer for serious misconduct. They need to get in the witness box and testify and do so vigorously. And the fact that what we've seen all over Europe and many other parts of the world is the police closing ranks and there's a veil of silence. That has to be lifted. And the notion that these are somehow a few bad apples is nonsense. The disproportionate level of racial profiling and the huge numbers of individuals that are restrained using unreasonable force in the US can only be explained by racism and power being endemic within many US police forces.
I'm speaking with retired Judge Peter Herbert, who's part of a group of international legal experts looking at the problem of police violence against Americans of African descent. We're talking about the trial of Derek Chauvin. Judge Herbert, we're speaking to you in Nairobi, Kenya. Is this trial something people there are paying attention to? And are you in conversation with friends or colleagues about what's going on?
Yes, I think like most parts of the continent, Kenya has its serious problems with police violence and extrajudicial killings. And therefore, the brutal murder of George Floyd was graphically illustrated for all to see on video. There were demonstrations outside the US embassy, and also there were similar protests by people from Kibera, one of the largest slums in Africa, about the way they were treated. And sadly, they were met with batons and by tear gas. And it was only because there were demonstrations outside the US embassy, which were visible to the international community, that they were dealt with differently.
What impact do you think a televised trial has on justice and just people's faith that justice is being done?
Well, I think it does help. I have watched, as with many years before, the trial of O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson, and now we have some cases on appeal which are televised in the UK. But I think open and transparent justice is singularly important for any democracy. And warts and all, you need to see it. And therefore, it means that people don't second guess where the truth lies and what the verdict should have been. And also one of the things that you will know from the Rodney King case, I mean, these cases led to such a disappointment in the fact that justice was not done. And having it seen doesn't mean to say that it's done. So you have to have, in a sense, what is visible for all the world to see, be commensurate with the actual outcome. And if there is a disconnect, then obviously society as a whole will pay the price for that.
People outside the US, what stake do you think they have in this trial?
I think everybody has a stake in seeing justice done. The world is a very small place these days because of the internet and YouTube. And America is generally, or was before Donald Trump, held in high regard generally in some of its application of human rights. That obviously, if the justice system is seen to fail, George Floyd and others like him, then, for instance, the Chinese government will be well within its rights to say to the United States, well, why are you talking us about the persecution of Uyghurs when the persecution of your own minorities for hundreds of years has been so appallingly dreadful? So I think there are all sorts of lessons, good, bad, and ugly, for the United States, and it is our sincere hope that justice is done and seen to be done.
Judge Peter Herbert, part of a group of international legal experts looking at the problem of police violence against Americans of African descent. He's been speaking to us from Nairobi, sharing his views on the trial of Derek Chauvin in Minneapolis. Thank you very much, Judge Herbert.
Thank you very much indeed.
From PRX.